things. Today on The Travel Guys,
we'll take you to the islands in these United States.
From wellness retreat on the Big Island of Hawaii to the legendary Hamptons on Long Island.
You'll also get the inside scoop about the TSA at Sacramento's airport right from the lady who runs the show.
All that and more coming up right now on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man and king of the road.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks. I'm on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome to another Travel Guys and Entertainment Radio program. I'm Tom Romano along with Sports Leisure Vacations, Mark Hoffman. And we kick off every Travel Guys radio show by bringing you up to date on what's going on in the travel news. So let's not wait another minute. Let's get to it. Here's Mark Hoffman with the travel news.
Thank you, Tom. Today in the travel news, the world's biggest credit card sign-up bonus has arrived 110,000 miles. The Travel Rewards credit card space has been awash in generous customer acquisition promotions, including recent sign-up bonuses of as much as 100,000 miles for cards linked to the programs of American and British Airways. As high as it's been, the bar has been raised even higher. Capital One is making an aggressive pitch for its Venture Rewards credit card, offering to match up to 100,000 miles earned with competing airline link cards, in addition to its standard 10,000 mile bonus after spending at least $1,000 during the first 3 months you have the card. That translates to a potential total bonus of 110,000 miles, the most I have ever seen. Travelers beware, fuel scams are ahead. Last week's Consumer Reporter guest Ed Perkins of Smarter Travel sends along this update. Unless the price of oil drops suddenly, you can expect to see higher travel bills in coming months and weeks. And all too often, those increases will be disguised as surcharges and hidden during most or all of the purchase process. We'll have Ed on the program in the weeks ahead to discuss this issue, but if you want to learn more about it now, go to TravelGuysRadio.com and click on the Ed Perkins Fuel Scams link. Combined miles in elite qualifying activity between United and Continental frequent flyer accounts. United and Continental, of course, which are in the middle of a merger, will now let you move miles back and forth between your accounts on the two airlines in order to combine and get enough miles to accomplish whatever you want to do on one program or the other. At the end of the year, the two airlines will combine frequent flyer programs. Increased carry-ons are costing the TSA an extra $260 million a year. Not only are checked bag fees taking a bite out of consumers' wallets, but they're also pinching the TSA's budget as well. Do you see what's happening here? We are about to get hit for baggage fees twice. Yes, sir. Louisiana Senator Mary Landrieu asked this exact question. Check bag fees are increasing, it looks like. The cost to TSA is increasing because people don't want to pay the fees, so they're not checking bags and putting more on planes. My question is, do the taxpayers have to pick up the fee, or should we be looking at the airlines for some of the profits they make from those fees to offset the cost to taxpayers? My comment, good luck. From Texas, the Sixth Floor Museum in Dallas has a new piece of video for its library. A San Antonio man donated home movies of President John F. Kennedy as he spoke to a League of United Latin American Citizens group in Houston the night before Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas. The silent color film shows JFK's arrival, welcoming dignitaries, and a mariachi band. It also shows the President and the First Lady Jackie Kennedy addressing the crowd. If you'd like to see the video, go to TravelGuysRadio.com. The earthquakes in Japan, of course, the situation is changing on a daily basis. If you plan travel to Japan in the weeks ahead, check immediately with the travel provider you purchased your trip from or from the airline you booked with about possible travel options, and we'll have an update for you on next week's program, literally after the dust settles. And finally, news from New York on Broadway. If you remember, a few weeks ago, we had a preview review of the Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark show on Broadway, which has been plagued with so many problems. And now comes the news that director Julie Taymor is being replaced on Spider-Man. Yes, it didn't catch anyone in the New York theater community by surprise. The elaborate show has been the subject of negative buzz for months, from actors injured in stunts to a confusing lackluster plot to mediocre songs by Bono and The Edge to several postponements of opening night. Through each of the PR headaches, Taymor was kept in charge of the ship, helming the most expensive theatrical event ever produced on Broadway. The figure $65 million was attached months ago to describe how much the show cost, but with all the additional works that's still required, that figure is sure to go up. Late Wednesday, the show's producers announced that Taymor would no longer be the show's director and that it would not open on March 15th, but that it would be reworked for an opening in June. Spider-Man. And that's the travel news for today.
Thank you, Mark. You're listening to the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. I do have to take a moment and say that our prayers go out to all of those in Japan suffering from that horrible earthquake and tsunami, and also to their families here in the United States. Now, the interview we have coming up next, we've been anxiously awaiting this one for some time. We're fortunate enough to have the Federal Security Director, Gail Lavario, from the TSA, joining us in less than 3 minutes. Right here on News Talk 1530 KFBK, you're listening to The Travel Guys. Welcome back. This is The Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK, and we're really pleased to have our next guest on, going to put a voice and, well, almost a face with something that you hear and read about all the time, but you really can't you humanize it, if you will. And, Mark, I introduce our guests.
Well,
today,
for those of you who go to airports or who are involved in travel, you are familiar with something called the TSA.
Which stands for?
The Transportation Security Administration.
Thank you very much.
And joining us today on the phone is Gail Lavario. Gail is the Federal Security Director here in Sacramento and also handles a couple of other airports, small airports up north. Good afternoon, Gail.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. We are most pleased to have you on the air for a short interview today, and you have to promise us that one of these days you'll come in and spend an entire program with us live on the air so that we can just take questions from the public and kind of dispel some of the rumors and myths and things like that that surround the whole mystery of security at the airport.
I would love to. I would absolutely love to do that. It is just there's just so much information. To spend more time would be just great.
Well, with that being said, what is the number one myth, Gail?
What's the biggest thing that you deal with? Perhaps the thing with the body scans now, or
I guess the number one myth, I really couldn't really put a label on the myth, but I think the number one assumption is that we enjoy making people uncomfortable. Maybe.
Well, you know, the opportunity for a high humor level, whether it's Saturday Night Live or otherwise, certainly has lent itself to that, hasn't it?
Yes, it certainly has. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity for that. But really, the bottom line is we have a goal to achieve, and that's to keep bad things and bad people off the entire transportation system, not just airplanes, but trains, planes, and automobiles. So all of that, and we have a goal, we have a team to get that ball across the goal line, and every day we just work really hard at it, and we're learning how to trust each other to pass the ball, dribble, bring it over the goal, whatever it takes to get there. But we want to do it with integrity, and we just want to make sure that we do it with empathy.
Now, Gail, as a tour operator, a lot of my travelers are mature travelers, and they are folks oftentimes who have, you know, the pacemaker or the implant or the something that causes the bells and whistles to go off, and they need little special handling and stuff. And I generally am pretty amazed by – well, not generally. I'm always amazed by the fact that the TSA people, they know that they're under scrutiny. It must be kind of difficult for them when they see things that are written about what has happened within the system and stuff like that. How do you deal with that sort of a situation?
Well, the way we deal with it here, I can definitely speak for Sacramento and the other airports that we have. What I want to focus on is our officer really paying attention to the person that they have with them and the fact that we are both human beings. And when we are going through a pat down, it's not a very comfortable procedure. What we found here, though, in Sacramento for sure, is that people who come in, we've had very minimal complaints, and the complaints that we have been really about the process rather than the people handling that process. So it's been very successful here. We don't have the advanced imaging technology here in Sacramento yet, so we really do have to rely on the pat-down when it's appropriate and when it's needed.
So like you say, people are not complaining about how they're treated by the individual TSA agents. It's just the overall process. Why do we have to do this and so forth?
That's right. And I think that the more we talk about the overall process and the more we talk about the relevance of that process and why we do it and what not just our immediate goals for that process, but our long-term, what is the administrator of TSA thinking about technology down the road? The more we get that information out there, I think the more palatable that process is, at least for the time being. And if we can demonstrate professionalism and, again, empathy as we're doing that, really that's my biggest success, is to make sure that we don't have a problem with the way we are conducting ourselves here as officers in TSA.
Our guest on the Travel Guys this afternoon is Gail Lavario, who is the Federal Security Director at Sacramento International Airport. Gail, let me ask you about folks who I have my general manager for a long time was on the risk list. His name always came up when he went to the airport. He always had to go and check in individually. He could never get his boarding pass in advance and stuff. And that has turned for him recently, and it hasn't been an issue. Has there been a development there that has made it less likely for people to show up on those lists?
Well, there are a few processes in place to address that. One is a more formal process. For example, if he were continually showing up on that and he had to be vetted every single time he went through, there's a process called the redress process where he can demonstrate that he is not that particular individual, and then his name would be removed from the list or put onto a cleared list.
And that is indeed what he has done. Tell us a little bit about how people can do that if somebody's listening who might have that challenge.
There are on the TSA.gov, TSA.gov website, I haven't been on there lately, but a question and answer area or forum or an avenue to ask questions about how to address the redress process. And most often it's offered by the air carrier. When you are booking a ticket, it'll ask you, do you have a redress number or not? And then if you don't and you need one, it will direct you to the TSA.gov website in order to start that process. It's a national process rather than a local process. If there are any questions that we have here locally, if any of your listeners have any questions about that, we have the ability here in our office to direct them to the right national point of contact to have that done.
And how would they get a hold of you? What's contact?
Call our office. Anybody, any of your listeners and traveling public can call our office at 916-830-9100, and we will ensure that they get to the right person to help them. I mean, that's what we're trying to do is.
And we will make sure we have that phone number on Travel Guys Radio website.
Great.
In case you're driving around and you can't write it down. By the way, my general manager, Kevin, who went through that redress process, and that's probably why he's not having that challenge anymore. He also had one other request, though, with the pat downs. He wanted to know if the ladies could do the men.
Well, you know, I'm sure that would be a popular thought with a lot of people. But
well, I'm just thinking, you know, we could make this a lot more popular. Tom, you had a personal ID question.
Yeah,
for
Gail, help me out with this. And this is a reality. My daughter recently, someone stole her purse, and when they did, of course, they got her driver's license, and now she has no driver's license with a picture ID. She lives in Texas. We want to fly her home, and we're struggling with trying to figure out what's going to happen if she shows up at the airport and all she has is a temporary that has no photograph on it. How do people who are in those situations who may not have a California or any for a driver's license with a picture on it, what's the procedure to be able to board?
Well, passengers who've either lost their purse, lost their wallet, for some reason don't have an acceptable ID, such as a driver's license, as you mentioned, a passport, a military ID, anything that identifies them through a federal or state-issued identification card, will talk to the travel document checker as they enter the checkpoint. And that document checker might ask them further questions about their identity. Once those questions are answered, such as it could be anything like what kind of car do you own, or what might be in a public database that we have back in TSA. Those people are cleared, it's vetted that way, and they may be subjected to additional screening, but typically it's a pretty seamless process.
And would it help if someone had, for example, an old driver's license that had expired, that had their picture on it, and help to support that information? Would that be something that they should bring with
them?
Absolutely,
absolutely. Whatever they have that has a picture that's, a federal or state-issued photo ID would be very helpful.
Her Costco card wouldn't... with the
picture.
Well,
I don't
know.
I have a pretty great picture on my Costco card, so I'd like to show
I know you have a very limited amount of time today, so we sure thank you for taking a few minutes out of your schedule and joining us on the Travel Guys. It's no secret we've been desirous of your attention for a long time, and really and truly we're going to work with your people and work out a day when you can come in and just take questions on the air. I think it would go a long way towards establishing a relationship with the community and the Transportation Security Administration.
That'd be great. I'm looking forward to hanging out with you guys a little bit more anytime.
One last question for you, Gail. You have the ear of all of the travelers that listen to the Travel Guys radio show. What advice would you like to give them to make traveling and going through security and so forth as seamless as possible? What would you say to them?
Ask questions and get to know your local TSA where you typically fly out of your airport.
That would be
my advice. The more you can know us and the more we know you, the easier it is and the better it feels as you go through.
An unsolicited plug. Really, the TSA people at the Sacramento Airport are among the nicest people in the country. I have a couple of friends who work out there, and I have never had a situation ever where I've even witnessed anybody being the slightest bit discourteous to anyone. So your point is well taken. Ask questions, allow yourself enough time, and have a positive attitude, and everything will go like a snap.
That's right. That's right. And we'll continue working on getting even better than we are now. So thank you so much for that recognition.
All right. Thank you, Gail. Gail Lavario, the Federal Security Director at Sacramento International Airport, joining us on the Travel Guys.
Thanks, guys.
Hello again. You're tuned to the Travel Guys radio program right here on News Talk 1530 KFDK. Heard every Sunday from 2 to 3. I'm Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. So happy you could join us today. Mark, a couple of weeks ago, we did our show from the New York Times Travel Show in New York City, and you gathered a number of interviews on that particular day. And there was one that we were unable to get on due to time restraints, but today we've got a couple of minutes, and I wanted to hear that interview that you did because it's about one of my favorite places on earth, and that is the Big Island of Hawaii. So let's go ahead and roll that interview now.
Tom, we are here today with Leah Watkins. She is from the Big Island of Hawaii, and she is part of a very special experience that people can have that includes accommodations and some other things, and I'm going to let her explain it to you. I missed it on my most recent visit to the island, but I won't miss it the next time. So, Leah, tell us about this very special property and how it came to be. You told me it was a dream of your parents.
Yes, aloha.
Hi.
Absolutely. Hi. It was a dream of my parents since the time I was a child, from the time I can remember. They have had a passion for creating a healing retreat. They've always been doctors. My dad's a Western doctor, and my mother's a holistic healer and a Hawaiian healer. And so they've done integrated medicine for over 30 years. And they always wanted to create a place that was a place where you could go to heal, that you could very much integrate healing with a luxury spa experience.
Now, by healing, you're talking about not just, healing a cut on your arm. You're talking about spiritual healing.
I'm talking about spiritual healing.
Getting what those of us on the mainland might call getting away from it all.
Getting away from it all, getting back in touch with yourself, back to the heart of yourself.
Putting yourself in an entirely different environment.
Absolutely.
In a really, really wonderful place. on the Big Island. Now, you're up on the north shore of the island near the town of Javi, which is a place that I visited on a recent trip. In fact, as we were talking, I most likely drove by your front door.
Absolutely.
But tell me a little bit about the experience that people will find. How big is the property? Tell us the name and all fills in.
The property is Hawaii Island Retreat. The property is actually 50 acres. We only can build on 10 acres of that entire property. So there's 40 acres of gardens and sacred Hawaiian sites. The way that Hawaii works is when there is a sacred Hawaiian site, we have to keep it sacred. We cannot build around that. So there's only 10 acres that we build on right above the ocean.
And there are a lot of sacred and historic sites in that region.
Absolutely.
King Kamehameha roamed around there many years ago.
Yes. In fact, we have the Circle of Stones, which is a very sacred site that King Kamehameha and his high council would gather around.
And for people who are listening who don't have any idea who King Kamehameha is, just think George Washington of Hawaii, and you'd be pretty much in line.
Right there, exactly. Yeah. The most.
So you are in what is a very beautiful spot on the Big Island. It's kind of a cross between the rainy side and the dry side. I mean, really, you get enough, you don't kind of get the Hilo rains, am I correct? But you don't get the complete dryness of the Kona side either.
Absolutely. I call them sun rains. It only rains for about 5 to 10 minutes. It's usually sunny when it's raining. It's the most spectacular rain on the island.
So how many rooms at the retreat?
We only have 16 rooms, okay. And we are very much geared towards a concierge type of service, that luxury service where we cater to you and all of your needs. So that goes from the restaurant and our farm-to-table fare.
Yeah, tell me about that. Tell me, I was reading about that. I found that to be really interesting. You've created not only this place for people to go to kind of get away from it all and to get well, as you said, but you have a wonderful culinary concept.
Absolutely, and it's the concept for our entire resort, is this concept of giving back to the land as well as not sacrificing anything in luxury and healing and relaxation. So that goes from everything that we do being sustainable. We create our own electricity. We grow our own vegetables, and that is the farm fare and the farm-to-table fare, is we grow everything on the land. All of the fruit that we harvest is from our land. Everything is organic. We even harvest our own animals. So everything is literally directly from our land right to your table.
Which is kind of a trend in Hawaii and especially on the Big Island.
Yes.
People are learning that things cost a lot of money when they come from the mainland. And now that sugarcane and pineapple isn't being grown all over the place, that there's lots of agricultural lands available, and there are lots of products that can be grown in the island that are much cheaper when they're grown there. And besides that, it provides jobs for people, and you know, creates a whole economy that the island's perhaps overlooked for a while. Folks were getting fat and sassy on tourism for a long time, and so what you've done is combine an element of tourism, going to a wonderful place in paradise,
absolutely,
and with some elements that perhaps appeal to a younger traveler.
A younger traveler and a very savvy traveler. You know, this is for someone who very much...
And maybe that's a better description. Not necessarily a younger traveler, but a savvy traveler.
Somebody who
knows what they're looking for.
Knows what they're looking for, is used to a type of service, a type of
experience.
Yes, a very high-end experience where they have a very high expectation, but also want to give back and give back to the land and really have a spiritual experience, getting back to themselves. We do a lot of retreats as well.
Okay, Leah, we're going to put your website on our website today, travelguysradio.com, so people can find it. But why don't you give it to me, too, also?
And that website is HawaiiIslandRetreat.com.
Oh, that's pretty easy, HawaiiIslandRetreat.com. Okay, well, we'll put it on our website also, so folks can find it there. And as you can tell, I'm very enamored with your product and your place. I can hardly wait to get there and see it. It just strikes me as very unique. And the fact that you would come all the way to New York City to promote it to these folks who are not necessarily all Hawaii travelers.
But who desperately need exactly what we have to offer.
Between you, I, and the fence post, yes. Yeah. But folks from this end of the country could really use this product for reasons that we can't go into on the air. Anyway,
absolutely.
Thanks, Leah, for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Very nice.
You're listening to the Travel Guys and Entertainment Radio Show, heard every Sunday 2 to 3 right here on News Talk 1530 KFBK, and it's time to go east, far east. Mark, who do we have?
Yeah, almost as far east as you can go and still stay in the United States. We're going to Long Island, or if you are from Long Island, you say it Long Island.
Long Island.
Long Island. Andrea Gervitz is our guest today. She is with the Hamptons Visitors Council. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
It's nice to have you. Andrea and I met at the New York Times Travel Show, and unfortunately, the interview that we did got garbled in transmission and it didn't survive. And we had such a wonderful interview, and I enjoyed talking with her so much. So we have resurrected her and are going to talk a little bit about the Hamptons today.
Resurrected? I don't know, Andrea. How do you feel about that?
No, this is almost like godlike.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say, thanks for the intro. Yes, we are at the tip of Long Island, New York. Actually, we were at the show representing both the Hamptons and the North Fork wine country, and the tip of the east end of Long Island. Hamptons ends in Montauk, which is a commercial, authentic commercial fishing village, a little different vibe than the Hamptons.
Which is very much the end of the road.
The end of the road.
It's called,
you know, or as they like to say, where Long Island begins. But... But we'll talk a bit about Montauk, but the Hamptons, Long Island separates into two actual, two fishtails. One is the South Fork where the Hamptons is one is the North Fork. The North Fork was agricultural land up until about 20 years ago when some intrepid vineyard winery people came out and started realizing the soil and the temperate climate was so wonderful for growing grapes. So now there are 45 wineries there, and we call it, you know, the wine writers call it like a mini Napa. It's got that beautiful agricultural farmland side on one side, and then we're connected by bays and little ferries that connect to the Hampton side, which is the Atlantic Ocean side. And basically, everything you would expect, it's kind of like a Malibu, as Californians can relate to that. It's sort of sophisticated and beachy and wonderful. We had a huge art community that settled here in the 1880s and have been coming out since. So there's great artists here who have their studios here.
Now, where do folks stay in the Hamptons? I know there are lots of wonderful private homes there and lots of things to see. But where do folks stay? Is there a plethora of accommodations there?
We do. We have small hotels. Probably the largest is 110 rooms. We do not have any chain hotels because the preservation is no. There's really no building of large hotels allowed here.
And there's really no chains to speak of. They're only very isolated. In the Hamptons at all. That's just kind of a philosophy of the community.
Well, we're only 2 hours from New York City, but, you know, preservations have kept us pristine. You know, it was established in Southampton was established in 1640, so you're going to see a lot of our villages look like colonial New England villages, settled by the English. And so it's pristine, and very charming main streets and squares, and, you know, old cemeteries from 1640 and historical homes. And in between all that, there are beautiful inns and B&Bs. You know, people who own some of these homes on the main streets and side streets have open small B&Bs. So there's all level. And then there's motels, certain areas like Hampton Bays. We have a string of hamlets that start at West Hampton on the west side, western end of the Hamptons, all the way to the end, Montauk. But... you know, there are a range of small properties to stay in and some motels. Hampton Bays has motels. East Quag has motels, more family-centered for more budgets. We don't have Ritz-Carlton's here, but we do have some very upscale inns. But, you know, it's there hasn't been any really new building of hotels since probably the 60s, the 70s. So.
And Andrea, let me ask you: is there seasonal visiting? Is there a better time to be there than another?
Well, I'll tell you our secrets. Our secret season to visit is September. You know, after the crowds have gone, the weather's absolutely gorgeous and warm. The ocean is still warm, and the beaches are empty, and it's absolutely our secret season. That's when the locals start going down to the beach.
And that was going to be my question of you, is that beaches. Are beaches in play in the Hamptons?
Well, here's the thing. We were voted, Cooper's Beach in Southampton was voted the number one beach in America this year, 2010, by Dr. Stephen Leatherman, that coastal beach expert.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing. These are white sand beaches, no boardwalks, no commercial establishments along the beach, just pristine white sand, wide, wide, expansive beaches.
So much like Martha's Vineyard in the Nantucket area, September, and much like, I would say, our very own Pacific Northwest here, September is kind of the secret season.
Are there celebrity encounter opportunities?
Yeah, there's always opportunities to let celebrity sightings. Just like, I suppose, in California, we don't make a big deal of our celebrities. They're among us. They're shopping next to us. They're in the lumber store. I've seen them. Some big Spielberg and
Go ahead, name drop. Go ahead, it's all right.
Spielberg, Renee Zellweger had a house.
These folks are all going about their business and
Billy Joel, yeah. Yeah, they're going about their business.
Andrea, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, and we hope to see you again, perhaps at the New York Times Travel Show next year.
We'll be there again. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Andrea. Right. This is the Travel Guys. We're News Talk 1530 KFBK.
In just a matter of days, an era will be ending in Sacramento. Now, I know this is a travel show, but I'm a sports guy, and the fact that our city is about to lose the only true Major League sports franchise it has ever had leaves me just a bit empty inside. Appears, though, there aren't very many more like me. As the Kings have done everything except back the moving vans up to ARCO, Power Balance Pavilion's front doors, something very interesting is happening here. Nobody really seems to care. The Kings will leave Sacramento having never won a championship. Whether you know it or not, that will be what we will miss the most, the opportunity to be champions. You see, in Sacramento, we have always taken a backseat to San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Diego, the other real cities in our state. Over the years, we got used to driving to the Bay Area to see sporting events, because after all, Sacramento was just a stop on the way to Lake Tahoe. Beating the Warriors was always special, because for a few days, it meant Sacramento could strut a little. Even more so with the Lakers. I dreamed of the day when a motorcade would slowly move down Capitol Mall while we hailed our champions, as I've watched so many cities do. I'm having a hard time being upset about the Kings leaving for another reason. The owners. The Maloofs came to town like young playboys, reveling in the national attention their personalities, lifestyle, and ownership of an exciting basketball team gave them. We came along for the ride, but one thing is now very clear. It wasn't our ride, or even our car. It was theirs. And somewhere in between the hardwood and the infamous Carl's Jr. commercial with a $6,000 bottle of wine that featured our very own Maloofs, the relationship broke down. When the citizens of our fair city refused to be blackmailed into building a fancy new building for the boys, they began to pout. When it was discovered the Maloofs not only wanted the building, but control over food and beverage sales in the immediate area, things started to smell bad. And it has only gotten worse. Rick Adelman, arguably the best coach ever to lead the Kings, was let go. Mike Bibby, Vlade, Peja, and all the rest drifted away in trades or free agency. The magic was gone, never to return. The seats at ARCO... sorry, it'll always be that to me, have been increasingly empty in recent years as the team has struggled. Even veteran broadcaster Gary Gerald has sounded exasperated at the team's decisions from time to time. It was fun while it lasted. The madhouse on Market Street packed with 10,333 people every single night. The night the legendary Larry Bird missed two free throws in the final seconds, I truly thought the roof was going to come off that old warehouse. Thanks for the memories. To Jerry Reynolds and Gary Gerald and the people I've had the pleasure of working with, I wish it wasn't time for you to go, but it appears that is the outcome. Sacramento isn't the first California city to say no to sports owners. Los Angeles has been without a football team for almost 20 years. The Giants built their own stadium. The situation in Oakland has been a stalemate for decades, and the Kings aren't moving into a building that is exactly brand new in Orange County. Even in the Silicon Valley, they haven't been able to muster the public funds to help build a palace for millionaires. So farewell, NBA. We treated you well. We embraced you. We supported teams that were total dog meat for years with our hard-earned dollars. A lot of good it did us. Good riddance. Take your $6,000 bottle of wine with you. And that is just one man's opinion.
Well, there you have it. There is Mark Hoffman and one man's opinion. If you have an opinion of your own, I'd love to have you share it with us. Simply drop us a note at travelguysradio.com and tell us what you think. Well, I'll tell you, my opinion is I'm going to be seriously saddened, Mark. I've been a big Kings fan. My wife my in-laws. We love to go to the games. We are practically in mourning at the Romano household.
You know, and I did sports talk radio in this town in the 90s for a number of years and was very close to the team. And there was a time, 5-6 year period, when I didn't miss a single game out there. Certainly, I talked about the old building on the first yeah. building on Market Street was so special. And it just, but to me, it all went sour. Those guys overplayed their hand, and they tried to get something that they couldn't get. And the people of this city, you know, sometimes we get talked about that we're kind of country bumpkins or something like that. Maybe that reputation has gone away a little
bit. The cowbell town?
Yeah, the cowbell town. But you know what? We weren't quite as – the turnip truck didn't just get unloaded here. I mean, and these guys have a lot of money, and they can afford to build their own building. And I wish them well. But I don't think – the fact that they're moving to an old building in Southern California tells you that they're not leaving Sacramento for Anaheim. They are just leaving Sacramento.
Well, here's my one man's opinion is that I think when the final bell rings, they're not going to want them there either. And we're still going to have the Kings, whether you feel that we're stuck with them or not.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's worst case scenario. They don't work out something down there, and the team now has to come back to Sacramento next year and be a lame, like they had in Seattle, where you know the team is leaving, and all people do is badmouth them all year, and that doesn't really work either. But anyways, it's a travel show, not a sports show, but we can.
But you travel to a lot of sports.
We
things.
Do, and we've taken people in the heydays of the Kings, Tom. We took people on the road to Miami and to Texas to see the Kings play on the road because that's how much. That's how much this town was into the team at one time. I mean, all those lousy years with the horrible teams.
Yeah, you have that word in the name of your company. What is that word?
Sports.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you are.
Well, okay. Next week on the Travel Guys, what do we got, Mark?
Let's see. Sorry we didn't have time for the American Road segment this week, but we will take you on with American Road Magazine next week, which is really a great publication, and help you learn a little bit more about it. And also, next week we're going to take you out into the ocean with Holland America. So I hope you've enjoyed the show today with all the TSA people and all that great stuff. Remember, you can go to travelguysradio.com if there's anything from today's program that you'd like to know more about, a website, a contact phone number, anything like that. Gail had the TSA number. We'll have that up there on there for you, travelguysradio.com.
Stay tuned for the Libertarian Cowboy up next. Remember, we're here every Sunday from 2 to 3. This is Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman from Sports League. Your vacation, saying so long for now.
News Talk 1530 KFBK online at KFBK.com.